Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm back. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper. I'm a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education. And most importantly, I'm an avid lifelong hunter, and you're listening to the Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. Welcome back, and I got a surprise for you guys later, but I'm not going to tell you. I want to tell you, but I'm not going to say it. It's going to be a big surprise, we hope. We'll see. So if you tuned in last week or 2 weeks ago, I don't know what we did last week. I'm in a bad place. I was sick. I know I went to Florida. Life's rough with the family. We're at Universal Studios. The whole thing. We stayed at the Hard Rock Cafe. No, the Hard Rock Hotel. Sorry. Which I liked, I guess. It was kind of all a little cheesy for a music fan like me. I don't know. And I like rock and roll, man. Listen, my favorite band, I don't care. I know all you Brooklyn people, the music scene and all that. Van Halen, that's my favorite band. They rock. There's no way around it. Not Sammy Hagar. Shut up about the Sammy Hagar thing. I got nothing against Sammy Hagar. I think he makes tequila or something now, and that's fine. I like tequila. I'm talking about David Lee Roth, you know, the Halen brothers, the whole thing. Michael Anthony, you know, that stuff. And they played a lot of that, so it was kind of cool. And Bret Michaels was there, apparently, and my wife, I found out, loves Bret Michaels, which I found a little hilarious. And I'm not a jealous guy at all by, you know, I mean, whatever. If she wants to run off with Bret Michaels, I think that would be a good story for radio. I could tell you the whole thing. But it was kind of funny seeing him just kind of walking around the hotel and all the girls going crazy for him. But it just got, after a week being at this rock and roll hotel, I was just like, oh, I wish everyone would just shut up and stop playing music. And at the pool, they had a really cool pool, like one of those pools where it's a beach and it kind of slopes down into the pool and gets deeper as you go out. So, and of course, the bar right next to the pool, and they're playing, you know, music. And but when you went underwater, they played music under the water in the pool, which I found cool. But it was a different song from what they were playing at the bar. So it all became a little nauseating at some point. I'm drinking at the bar, I jump in the pool, I'm listening to the song. It's like, you know, The Clash is playing at the bar. And then you jump underwater and it's like, you know, a Bret Michaels, a Poison song or something underwater. So, but it was a good trip. So I came home from the trip and I couldn't talk. I had a sore throat, so I had to call in sick. So there's my excuse. Sorry about that. Then this week I was like, all right, we got to do the show. We got to get back into this. And I woke up this morning and I couldn't walk. My back hurt. And I was just telling my producer, Liz, I was like, I'm an Army Ranger. And you know, Army Rangers, what we do, we get mad when we're hurt or when something's not going right, violence of action. You don't sit there and feel sorry for yourself. So I said, if I can't get through a goddamn 30-minute radio show with a bad back, then just give up on me now. But here we are. We're going to do the show. And I know if you're a regular listener, you're saying, all right, this jerk better get to the second part of long range shooting. But we're not going to do that. We're going to change it up because I do have within my whole tale of woe some exciting news. Opening day, New York State bow hunting, archery season, October 1st. Guess what I did? That's right. What good hunters do. I downed a buck first day. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wish I had this great story about my skill and how I overcame the elements. And I this great story of this deer, this buck kill. But it really wasn't. And I'm going to tell you a story now. So It's the night before opening. Then, if you're a hunter, or maybe if you're not a hunter, you could appreciate this. There's a degree of excitement. It's like Christmas Eve. You know, it's the day before the holiday, and you're excited. And I went over to my gear, and I double and triple checked. And then I have my regular routine. I do, you know, before any hunt, never mind opening day, I go to the computer, and I check the weather, and I looked, and it was going to rain. And I don't mind hunting in the rain. Sometimes for me, it gets a little iffy with archery season. You know, if you're blood trailing a deer and the forest is wet and you're looking for drops of blood trying to find a deer. So, you know, it always concerns me when it's going to rain. You know, as a hunter, I know the deer and wildlife in general during heavy rain are gonna lay low, not move around too much. But, you know, during that break or when the rain stops, we're going to get a lot of movement from animals. So I told my wife, hey, tomorrow's opening day. And she said, you didn't tell me. You got to drive the kids to school in the morning. What are you, crazy? My mother's in Montauk. We had this whole thing. And I said, all right, it's the opening day. It's not a big deal. We got plenty of time. I'll drive them to school. So I loaded my gear that morning, made scrambled eggs for my darling little children, put them in the car, drove them off to school. I stopped and got my coffee, filled up the gas tank, and I started driving out there and sat in the most hellacious traffic on Southern State. Now, you know I'm in that hunting club. I have property upstate, and we haven't gotten there yet for hunting. We're waiting for things to heat up a little bit. But I'm in the club out in Quogg, Suffolk County, Long Island, Pheasant Run Sportsman's Club. And we went out to, you know, drive out there, and we have 1,200 acres. It's a beautiful, ideal setting for an archery hunter. And if you don't know it, Suffolk County, New York, happens to be the number one producing archery county in New York State, which a lot of people, when I say it, get surprised. We have a lot of deer out on Long Island. So I'm in this hellacious traffic on Southern State Parkway. And not that I'm in a big rush, but again, the excitement of it. I want to be out there, even at the clubhouse, putting my boots on, chatting with the guys. The president of the club's always there. He's a great guy. He's a storyteller, you know, Bob. I love him. So I wanted that whole atmosphere. So I'm in my car getting aggravated at the traffic. And quote unquote, I text my wife and I said, we live in a cesspool of stupidity. I had something to say about the traffic. And she said, you know, and I know my wife, and she's a wonderful lady and supports me 100%, but I know what she was saying. As she was toiling at work and I'm going out hunting, she was saying, oh, he's such a whiner, really? Maybe he should be here doing what I do and work for a living. And so I eventually the traffic broke up. So my day wasn't off to a good start. Had to bring the rotten kids to school, had to sit in traffic, but now I'm going. Now I get to the clubhouse, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning, give or take. And we have a club rule, you don't move. You're only allowed to move to your tree stand or move out of your tree stand between 10 and 1, I think the rule is. And that's when the deer generally lay down, not a lot of activity. So it's 10 o'clock, and I'm like, all right, I got plenty of time, could get out to my stand. So started gearing up, and everyone who's listened to the show know I'm a scent control maniac. I have everything in my my scent-proof box, and I start breaking it out piece by piece, spraying it down with my scent-killing spray. Eventually gear up, get all my gear on, taking my bow out of my bow holder, and I realize, ooh, I forgot one thing, my safety vest, my climbing vest to get up in a tree stand. And I said, you know what? I'm feeling lucky today. I'll be all right. And I was going to a stand that's a pretty easy climb. It's high, but it's in a spruce tree. So aside from my climbing spikes that I'd put into the tree, I have a bunch of cut branches of the spruce that come out about 6 inches or so. So I got plenty of foot and handholds as I'm climbing this tree. So I mosey out to my tree stand, get out there, and it's a beautiful day now, and the rain just stopped. In the meantime, while all this is happening, I'm texting with my hunting partner, Joe. And Joe is out in the tree stand since 4 o'clock this morning in the pouring rain and hasn't seen anything. And it's too early in the season, and I don't even know what I'm doing out here. I'm miserable. It's damp. I hope you have your rain gear. But as I'm walking out to my tree stand, it's now 10:30, give or take, and the rain has stopped. Everything's soaking wet, you know, but it's great because I'm silently approaching my tree stand. I'm walking in all these leaves, but they're sopping wet, so I'm not making a sound, and I'm thinking, all right, the traffic was bad, the school drop-off thing, all these terrible things that happened to me, but now look, everything's coming up, and now it stopped raining. Maybe a deer will move at this weird time of the day when most people go in for lunch and just take a little break from hunting. I'm actually just getting to my stand and get to my tree stand, hook up my gear, and start climbing up the tree. And I get to the top of the tree stand. I get right below the tree stand itself. And, you know, now I'm 20 feet off the ground, and I basically climbed this tree right under the tree stand. If you could imagine, it's this, you know, the grate of the tree stand. I feel it hit my head, and I know I'm there. And then I kind of just move off to the right, go to the back of the tree, and step onto the tree stand. So as I go to make this move, my left leg slips out because the little branch I'm standing on is wet, and my boot slides out, and I end up dangling from a metal hold on the tree stand and one branch, and my feet are totally floating 20 feet off the ground. And so I got my act together, put my feet back down, didn't even really think about it at the time. It had happened so quick, got into my tree stand and realized, wow, that was close. I could have broke my back. I could have cracked my head. I could have punctured a lung. I could have died if I landed wrong, if I had fallen 20 feet. So again, being a soldier, I got aggravated. So I put my bow, hung my bow up, hung my bag on the side. I had my whole system. I sat down in my tree stand. And now I said, all right, start thinking, because you don't have a safety vest on. Usually I'm hooked into the tree. Once I get up there, I'm hooked into my safety line. I said, you gotta be aware of that. It's wet. The tree stand's wet. You're going to be standing up. Be careful. So I'm thinking about all this. And what I had forgotten to do was actually knock an arrow. I didn't put an arrow in my bow when I put it on the bow holder. And because I was thinking about dying and safety and rain and all of this stuff. And just as I'm thinking all of this stuff, not realizing I don't have an arrow ready to go, I hear that branch break. And I'm like, oh, my head spins. My head turns quickly to the left. And I look, and there's a mature doe. And she is about 10 yards broadside, saying, please eat me. Please, Chad, just eat me. I want you to eat me. So to make a long story short, guess what? I'll get back to that. Remind me where I am in my story. Ladies and gentlemen, the big surprise, Jesse Riley is here, former and I guess still part-time co-host of the Wild Game Domain, has just walked into the studio like a rock star.
Hey, Chad.
What's up, Jess?
Oh, I got a surprise for you.
And she's got a surprise for me. I had a surprise for the listening audience. What? This is... Now I have two copies? Did you lose my copy? I can't remember. Sorry, she's putting her headphones on.
No, I didn't lose your copy.
This is my copy?
That's your copy.
Oh, I couldn't remember where we were with that. So I lent Jesse about 14 years ago a book, give or take.
Give or take, right. 14 years ago, give or take. No.
What I think to be one of the most brilliant educational hunting books ever written.
No, it is. It's a great book.
It's a great book because it cuts to the chase. And the name of that book,
does.
By the way, is Whitetail Wisdom, a proven 12-step guide to scouting less and hunting more by Daniel Schmidt. So you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Cool.
And I think I'll get a copy for myself, too.
You should. You know what's funny? Somehow I have another copy.
You
lost it.
Well, no. You got on me one other time we were here at the show. And you're like, when are you going to bring back my copy of the book? I'm reading it still. Come on.
I don't. See, now that's not how I remember it. I remember she never returned the friggin' book. And I was I'm not getting my book back.
Well, see, we always say we have like a brother-sister relationship. So that's the key. It's like, I remember it differently than you do.
But I got to give her credit, man. This thing looks brand new. I don't. And what's funny is I want to say to her, here, take the book because I got a copy, but I'm going to give her, she's coming over to my house today, we're going to do a little archery.
Yeah.
I'm going to give her my copy, which is a pile of crap with pages stuck together in rain because it sat in my outfitter's tent last season when it flooded and it sat in a puddle.
Oh, so it's got more of that real feel.
It's been out there. So I'm going to give you that copy, not to be
stingy. All right,
fine.
Then you keep the nice copy.
All right. Welcome aboard. And we're going to talk in a minute, but listen to my story. You missed the beginning.
Yeah, get to your story.
But we're to the good part now.
The long-range hunting story, right?
No. This is opening day this season. Okay, archery. Okay. Forget the long-range stuff for now. I decided maybe we'll get back to that.
Change gears.
So here we are. I'm in my tree stand. I almost died. Blah, blah, blah. Traffic. Hate my kids. But now I'm hunting. And I don't have an arrow in my bow because my head was spinning and I'm sitting in the tree stand. I hadn't been up there 5 minutes and I hear a branch break and there is a doe saying, please shoot me and eat me. I am standing 10 yards broadside. So my left hand goes up for my bow. I'm still seated. And I feel the bow, and just then my eyes turn, and I look at my bow, because it's a metal bow hanger, and I don't want to create any noise when I pick the bow up. So I'm looking at it, and I realize, oh, why are you even picking up your bow? You don't have an arrow in it. And I was like, okay. So I thought, all right, I still got to pick it up, put it in my lap, try to get a bow in, an arrow in it. So I pick it up, and I do hit the metal a little bit. Very slightly, and the deer, just not even that much, you know. It's like ting, ting, nice and light. And the deer noticed it, and I saw her ears move, but she didn't. And you know, hunters have this ability to like use their left eye to look at their bow, and their right eyes over here looking at the deer, and they're moving very slow. But I saw her ears wobble a little bit, and so now I go, I said, all right, she didn't run. Now I'm focused on the bow, and I'm bringing it slowly to my lap. And as I'm doing that, I see more movement to the left, and it's another doe standing not 10 yards behind this last doe, and they're parading right through my area.
Okay.
So this doe actually heard the ping, I guess, and is staring at me. She pinpointed where the sound came from. Yeah. The other one had passed me, and I guess for some reason they didn't hear it as loudly because the sound came from behind the deer, whatever the reason. But the second deer was staring right at me. So what am I going to do now? If I move, I'm busted. So I said, all right, don't move. So I got this bow in an uncomfortable position. I'm sitting down. My chest is beating. You know, no matter, I've been hunting for 4 kabillion years. I still get excited on opening day with two does standing in front of me.
Right.
And it all happened so fast. So to make a long story short, at this point, the first deer walked off. And the second deer followed. And as that second deer, which was smaller, younger doe, but I still would have shot it, I finally got the arrow knocked and I stood up and the deer didn't present a good shot. It was quartering completely away from me. The only thing would have been to try to spine the deer, which I'm not a big proponent of. I think that's unethical for the most part. So the deer walk off. So now you can imagine my aggravation level at myself. And I said, all right, get disciplined. Get your head together now. You're still in the game. You blew it. That was a miracle that at 10:30 on opening day, within 5 minutes of being in the stand, two deer walk by you. Perfect. And you blew it. Deal with it. And so I take out my cell phone. Now, you got to realize this is all, this whole process. I know my story's going on and on. And Liz, don't panic. I'm going to take a break. I promise. But the drama of this story has to build. Took maybe the whole process. We're talking, I've been in the stand 7 minutes.
Okay.
Total now. So now the arrow's knocked, bow back on the hook. I'm seated, take out my cell phone. I take a picture of my bow and the ground and I send it to my friend. And I said, guess where I am? Because I knew he wasn't hunting and that would aggravate him. So just as I click send, I hear, and I look to my left, and there is a 7-point buck standing right where the doe was standing. And I'm like, you got to be fucking shitting me. I'm sorry to curse, but that's what I said.
Okay.
I put the cell phone in my pocket. The deer walks to a tiny little scrub oak and puts its head down behind it, perfect, blocking its vision. I stand up. I take my bow. I draw back. The buck takes 3 more steps in front of this and presents its right shoulder to me.
Perfect.
Perfect. At now we're probably talking 12 to 15 yards. I'm already drawn back. I'm on it. I'm breathing. I'm calm now because I just had two does walk by me and the heart rate and the adrenaline. Now I'm not even. Mm-hmm. And thump. Double lung pass through. I saw bright red blood. The deer rears up. I hear it go. It's running. I see it for about 20 yards. And then it gets into this thick brush. And I hear crash into these dried branches. It goes down. And I'm like, yes, I got it. It's done. It's right there. Then I hear the deer get up. It gets up again. I'm like, no, don't tell me that. And I'm looking at my arrow. It's 15 yards away. I'm 20 feet away from it. And it's bright red. I'm like, no, that was
a good
shot.
Sent me that picture.
Yeah, you saw the arrow.
Right.
The bright red, man. That's a long shot. We're good, man. That's vitals. This deer's not going far. But I hear it get up. Mm-hmm. Now, this is the amazing part of the story. We're only 12 minutes into my hunt.
Right.
I'd been in a tree stand 12 minutes. I hear it get up. I hear crash. It breaks into the bush. I'm like, no, that's it.
That deer is
down. So I sit there. I get your head together. Now, you missed the beginning of the story. I don't have a safety vest on. I forgot my safety vest. Oh. I had already almost killed myself climbing the tree, slid out in the rain. And I said, all right, calm down here. Let's lower all my gear. And I find the deer within 3 minutes of getting out of stand. It was right there in the thick stuff. I drag it out into the clearing a little bit. And I said, all right, let me go back, get some help at the clubhouse. So I walk out to the street. I'm walking the edge of the property back to our clubhouse. And I take my phone and I call the clubhouse. And the president of the club answers, Bob. And he said, what are you calling for? What's the matter? And I said, Bob, I'm sick of hunting today. I'm done. He's like, you just left. You're gone 15 minutes. I said, nah, I'm only kidding. I got a dead deer out here already. And he was like, oh, my God. All right, I'll be out there. So long story. Field dress, get the deer back, get it to the butcher. I had venison chili last night already.
Nice.
So it was beautiful. All right. Let's take a short break here. I'm going to exchange notes with Jesse, and then we'll get to the second part of the show. You are listening to the Wild Game Domain on heritageradionetwork.org.
Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
This is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Chad Pagano, host of the Wild Game Domain, and I'm joined by my co-host.
Your occasional co-host.
Quote, unquote. Jesse Riley. Okay, so, you know, Jesse, we were just chatting here, and she mentioned maybe you should say something about the...
Well, you kind of mentioned that you think it's unethical to do a spine shot, and maybe people don't know why that would be unethical.
Now, yeah, and you know what it is, like, ethics, you know, I mean, they're important, especially in hunting. You got to have a set of ethics that you live by, and it promotes the sport, and we're talking about a living creature, and we want to respect that. And I have, to me, the most amazing animal on the face of this planet is the white-tailed deer. Their ability to survive and thrive in every environment. I mean, to me, there's no more amazing animal. So, you know, I have much respect for it. So my ethics tell me that there is a thing called a spine shot, where if the deer is very close or directly under the tree stand, the idea is if you plant an arrow through its spine towards upper, towards the shoulder, that you will actually kill, hopefully, but paralyze the deer. You'll break his back. You'll sever his
spinal column.
Spinal column, yeah. And, and he'll lay down right there, and now you don't have to look for the deer. It's right there. The problem with that shot is, with an arrow, 9 times out of 10, it's not dead.
Not exactly on target.
Right. And yeah, you paralyze the deer. These you know, modern bows and arrows are very powerful things. So at a few yards, shooting straight down into a spine of an animal, you're generally going to – it's going to paralyze the deer. The problem is it doesn't hit any vitals or it goes through. So the deer is just laying there kicking its back legs, unable to use its front. It's a horrific scene. It's got to be – torture for the animal itself. And in full disclosure, I did it once. I don't know if it was on purpose or by accident, truthfully, but a big deer, an 8-pointer, had I was in the rain again, and it was the rut, and a deer ran underneath my stand. I was just about to quit for the day. I didn't dress properly, and so I moved my feet. At one point they were frozen, and a doe ran right under my stand, and I said, oh, that's it. I give up. I don't even know if I could draw my bow back. I'm shivering. I'm soaking wet. And I said, that deer was probably standing there looking at me, and as soon as I moved, it took off. But it turns out, no, that's not what happened. There was a buck chasing it. So a big buck. I don't even want a 190 class. I mean, it was a 14-pointer at least, came running, chasing this doe, and now I'm still not ready. And I'm like, oh, are you kidding me, Chad? You idiot. So now I stand up, and I have the bow in my hand, and guess what? Now a big 8, not as big as the last year, but a big 8 comes and stands right chasing
right
this buck
stand.
And right under the stand. And I drew back, and it was slight angle. He was quartered towards me, which is a shot as archery hunters we're never proud of. We don't want to take that, but it was so close. I have a powerful bow. I use a Matthews Helium 65-pound draw. I'm like, this deer's down. And I aimed for the shoulder, upper shoulder. Obviously, I was over an inch. I severed the spine. The deer went down, and my worst day of hunting just began. The deer started kicking in a circle, laying, grunting, moaning.
Right.
So now I'm panicked. What do I do? Poor animal. I knock another arrow. I put it in the bow, and I release it into the vitals. Obviously, just missing the vitals by 3 centimeters. So now there's a second arrow torturing this poor deer that's laying on the ground. And now I decide, no, you idiot. You got to – that's not going to work, just sticking arrows in it. You got to go cut its neck. You did this. Now man up and go do it. So I dropped – I put all my gear, secured all my gear except for my knife, put my knife in my cargo pocket, and started climbing down the tree stand.
But that's still dangerous because...
Absolutely. A buck, a big buck and I believe that
it
was going through my head.
You could be thrashing around. You could
get kicked. And I had never done that. I said, all right, now what am I going to do? I'm going to mount the deer from the back. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to do this. I'm going to have to cut its throat. I'm shaking. I'm like, this is a horrible situation I put myself in. So the... make a long story short again, by the time I reached the ground, the deer had expired. I heard its death blow at the end. It went, and it just died. And I thank God. I thank the Native Americans. I thank the deer gods. I was like, thank you for helping me. I know I messed up. So for me, I will never attempt that shot again. Right. Whether I attempted it or not, I don't remember.
Right.
I don't think I said I'm going to spine this deer. I thought I could fit it in between the spine and the shoulder blade and kind of hit the vitals. So I will never try that shot again. But my chili. So you know, everyone who listens to the show knows I'm a world class greatest chef ever to live on the face of the planet. I mean, that's fact. You know, it's none, at least in my mind. But I brought the deer, the buck I shot opening day to my butcher, who's a reliable dude, man. I mean, you know, he could turn a deer around for you within 3 or 4 days. You know, but I was first deer of the year within 15 minutes. He was at work. I left it in his backyard. He got home. He called me that night. He's like, hey, by the way, I was wide awake from work. He's a cop. Mm-hmm. He goes, so I just worked all night. I got your deer done. It's in the freezer.
Great.
Yeah. So I went back the next day, picked up my meat. I got a freezer full of meat now. And so yesterday, great day, football. Mm-hmm. It's America, right? Football. My son played, scored a touchdown. We beat the Rams. Went home, had some venison chili. I said, all right, let's make some chili. And I know how to make chili. And I don't have any big secrets. Everyone, oh, the chili. What kind of chili? Do it this way. I just make chili, all right? But I just nailed it. You know, sometimes you just nail it. Like, I got the right amount of chili powder. I put the perfect amount of cumin. Just right through it. And it was the best chili I ever made in my life. And, all right, granted, everyone that, you know, we had a few people over yesterday eating it, and some of my hunting buddies and stuff watching football. And the whole time as I was reheating the chili and making the rice and grating the cheese, I kept telling them, I'm like, you guys better be ready for the best goddamn chili you ever had, because I nailed it. And they were like, yeah. We heard it all before. And every one of them, when they tried it, and begrudgingly, they said, oh, my God, it is good. You nailed it. You're going to try this in a little while. Okay. I got leftovers. I'm going to make you whole. So, yeah, I can't believe it. That's a whole show already.
Amazing.
I feel like I dragged Jesse all the way here for nothing. But it was nice to have her. It's family. Yeah. We're the Wild Game Domain family. And Liz, welcome to the family. Thank you for doing the show. She did a great job. She doesn't jump in as much as Jack. Jack's big mouth all the time. Piping in because he thinks he's so smart, because he goes on Google. He'll Google something I said, and then he'll get a fact, and he'll be like, Chad, from the booth over here, just so you know, only 14 deer were taken. It's not 13 on that day. And I'm like, oh, thanks, Jack. I appreciate that, buddy. Jack's a brilliant guy. But he's got Google. I love you, Jack. I'm only kidding. You know that, man. Anything else, Jess?
No, I think that's it. Right?
All right, Jess and I are going to go fling some arrows in my backyard.
Yeah.
Safely. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to the Wild Game Domain on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
And you kill it, you eat it.
That's right. Don't forget that. If you kill it, you better eat it. I don't care if you run it over in your minivan. Put it on the roof. Bring it home. Give me a call. Give Jesse a call. Email us. Get it cleaned up. Thank you. That's all the time we have today. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.